Good evening, everyone.
A couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to be in front of you for the first Sunday night. There is one of the men of the congregation here who steps forward and brings the word. I had a slight situation then, so I'm coming to you now 2 weeks later, and I'm just in the middle of a cold now. So if you would, please forgive me if my voice starts to fail a little bit. And apparently the Everetts didn't get the memo because they're the only ones in the first two rows. I see the first two rows are empty everywhere here, so we're sorry if we give you my cold. So, but Mark's going to get up and go to the back now. But I know there's several here who have a cold, and you know we're so sorry for that. But I'm a little nasally, but I think that I can get through the lesson. Those of us who don't speak often, we have the fear, I think, of two things can happen when you're up here. One, you completely forget everything that you've studied for. Or two, it can go perfect. So, you know, it is our hope and prayer that the things that I have prepared will be beneficial to you, and I can present them in a way that are understandable. God's Word is understandable, and it is here for us, and we need to study, and we need to listen, and we need to tell others. There are many people in this world that are now past that I would love to have a sit down with. Love to sit across the table and have a cup of coffee with, or those of you from the South, have a glass of tea with. Several, probably 1,000 people that have now passed, even some that are alive today. We're going to look at a few from the Scriptures who I would like to sit down and have a conversation with. And in the beginning, God spoke to the individuals that were on this earth. Adam and Eve, Noah, and others. God walked with Adam and Eve, and He spoke with them. How would you like to be Adam and Eve in those days, to sit down and talk with God? That would be so wonderful. He spoke to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He spoke to them. He spoke to the prophets, Moses, Samuel, and others. Oh, to be those people, and again, speak with God. He spoke to the apostles through Jesus. And after that, Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to let them know what to say, to let them know what to write so that we can have the Scriptures today. Today, He speaks to us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, in the Word that we have. So, we can have a conversation with God today. Right here it is. Right here it is. First person we're going to look at is David. Having a sit down with King David, that would be a wonderful thing in my eyes. That would be unbelievable. David had conquered some of his accomplishments. He conquered the city of Jerusalem and united the northern and southern kingdoms. First of all, he was picked by God, a lowly shepherd boy, to lead God's people. And he accomplished great things in his life. 2 Samuel 5, 1-10 talks about that. He brought the ark to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. God God set up an everlasting kingdom through David, of which we are beneficiaries today through Christ. David was the one that was through, his lineage, Christ, for us today. 2 Samuel 7. He defeated the enemies of God and was, as he was instructed, and of course this was with God's help. We read that in Samuel and the Kings and the Chronicles. We can read of the exploits of David and how, through God, he accomplished what God had for him to do. Another person that I'd like to sit down with would be Paul. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also who have longed for his appearing. Paul accomplished what God had for him to do. He was emphatic about, yes, I did what I had to do, what God had for me to do. He was emphatic about that, and he said, there is a crown for me. Is that how we deal with God today in our lives? Do we have that confidence? Do we have that confidence? Would love to have a sit down with Paul. The early Christians. There's a whole bunch of them, but I would love to sit down with several of the early Christians and talk to them about their lives, about their struggles. What and how did they keep going? The people around them, some of them were being burned to death, were being put on crosses, were being thrown into the pit with the animals to be torn apart, and yet they persevered. They persevered. How did they do that? We have no idea what that's like today. We have everything so easy today. So easy today. Did you turn the heater on in your car when you come up here today? I know that I did. We didn't have to hide and go into somebody's house to study God's Word and learn about Him. We have it easy. But why they believed, and talk to them about their faith. They're the ones that help bring this to us today. Love to have that conversation with those folks. But these same folks, there's something that I would like to have a conversation with them about too. King David, his adultery, his scheming, the murder that ensued, the failure he had with raising his children. I'd like to talk to him about that also, so that I could be better at the things in my life. So that I can hear from David's mouth how he overcame these things and what he did. 2 Samuel 11 and 12 talks a lot about this. Paul. I'd like to also talk to Paul about his earlier life. The sins that he did against the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Galatians 1, 3. Thank you. Galatians 1:13, I'm sorry. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. That would be a conversation that I would like to have with Paul on how he did a 180 after the light coming to him on the road to Damascus and Christ asking him, why are you kicking against the pricks? What if we talked about that this morning, the cutoff that he did. Just like a switch. He changed from persecuting the church to loving the church and helping to move it along to what we can know of today. Acts 22nd chapter. In verse 20. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Today he would be called an accessory. He would be tried for murder. Tried for murder. I'd like to have that conversation with Paul also, to ask him how he felt about that. The early Christians, they were not all good people. They were not all good people. But yet they turned out to be that way. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. We're going to start our reading in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Again, Paul talking to the Corinthians here. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Some of you were. Do you know anybody in any of these categories that maybe you shun? You know, if you'd have known me a long, long time ago, you probably wouldn't have talked to me. My long hair and some of the people I hung around with. You know, most of the friends that Carol and I had growing up, they're either dead or in jail. Very few of them are left. And that is sad. That is sad. But if you'd have known me then, you might not have talked to me if you were a Christian. But you should have. Somebody did. Somebody did. And I'm thankful, and Carol's thankful for that today, that somebody talked to us. Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Again, some in the early church. The churches that are being talked about in the 2nd and 3rd chapter here. But, again, this is a church. This is God's people. The 2nd chapter, starting in verse 12, the church at Pergamum, starting in verse 12. To the angel at the church of Pergamum write, these are the words to him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith to me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Again, these were the early Christians. I would love to have the conversation with them about how they can be both hot and cold. I'd love to have that conversation. Okay, so what about now? We've looked at two different aspects of two people and a group of people. Would you still have that sit down with them now? Would you still have that sit down? Thinking on idolaters, homosexuals. Would you still have that talk with them? Want to have that coffee? Would you still welcome them with open arms? Would you look at these with any anger? Would we wrap our arms around them? Would we block these from out of our minds and not even want to have anything to do with them at all? Would we seek them out to put our arms around them? We read 1 Corinthians 13 talking about love. That's what that's all about. That's what that's all about. Would you still have that sit down with these folks? Well, our brethren today are no different than what we've just looked at. They're no different. But we're here. David is gone. Paul is gone. The early Christians are gone. I still want to have that sit down with them, but yet, all of those people are right here today. Not only here, but they're our neighbors. They're those we work with. They're those we shop at the store with. All the kinds of people that we looked at are here today. Some of them may be like King David and have done or will do great things. Or like Paul, great workers for the Lord, no matter what happened. Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten. Some may be like the early Christians and persevere against great odds. They still made it. They still made it. Some here may be in that category. You know, we talked about one that was going to have to move from where she was living because she was being persecuted by her own family. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Or some right here in this building may or have or will hurt you or sin against you. If you have been sinned against, if you have had someone sin against you here, what have you done? Have you put your arms around them? Have you sat down and had a coffee with them? Have you told them how much you love them and how you can help them and they can help you? Have you done that? Have you? God dealt with David. David acknowledged his sin in 2 Samuel 12, and he was told that God had put away his sin. But yet, there were going to be consequences. There were going to be consequences to what David had done. He was going to have a terrible family life with his children. His wives were going to be given to another man, and that was going to be out in the open. His son was going to take over his kingdom. There were consequences to what David had done. But David was forgiven. God put away his sin. But even though that happens, there are consequences from time to time. Jesus dealt with Paul. Paul, an accessory to murder. Paul, locking up people. Christ came to him and said, "Why are you doing what you're doing?" And he was taught the truth, and he believed it, and he repented, and he became one of the greatest people that we can say in the Scriptures. There were consequences. Jeb read that this morning in Acts 9:26. There were consequences to what Paul had done. He wasn't accepted everywhere he went. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. They were thinking that he was coming with those letters to haul them away. So there was consequences to what Paul had done. But he overcame those. The early church was confronted with their sins too. And we read about those churches in Acts, in Revelation, the second and third chapter. God confronts sin where it is. We have to accept the sin that we have. We have to change in our lives. We must do that. But also, those that are around us have to accept that we've changed too. They have to accept our repentance. They have to accept what is going on in our lives and help us. That must be done. Forgiveness. What about our erring brethren today? As we looked about with David and with Paul and with the early church, do we even think about having a sit down with our erring brethren today? Do we welcome them with open arms? Do we look at these with anger? Do we wrap our arms around them? Do we block these from our minds? Do we seek these brethren out to be able to put our arm around them? All of us are erring brethren. Every single one of us are. All of us need help in some way. All of us do. And we need the help of one another. Sin, it's an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law, a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and 4. Repentance, a change always for the better. You can't repent wrong. You can't repent bad. Repentance is truly a change. A change for the better. It always is a change for the better. If not, it's not repentance. Forgiveness. Something it is to be canceled, a complete removal, and remembered no more. God forgives us when we repent. He remembers that no more. He remembered David's sin no more. He remembered Paul's sins no more. He remembered the early church no more. When repentance is there, forgiveness is given. That is a fact. We need to believe that. We need to truly believe that. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. Sometimes we can't forgive others. Well, that causes sin in our own hearts when we don't do that. So we need to think about that. How can we deal with others' sin? Matthew 7, start in verse 1. Yeah. not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your eye? All of us sin. All of us sin. How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Again, there is that help that we're to give to our brethren. We're to give them the help that they desperately need. Matthew 18. Starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Have you ever said to someone, a friend, a brother, a spouse, a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, you're doing that again? Again? Do we have to discuss this again? No, that's supposed to have been, we looked at that, that's supposed to have been wiped from your mind. They ask for forgiveness, we ask for forgiveness, it's done. When repentance is there, repentance is given. When somebody changes and asks for forgiveness, it is to be done. Who sins? We all know who sins. Romans 3:23. Who sins? All have sinned and fallen short. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We'll just leave it there. What more is there to say? All of us have sinned. I would venture to bet, which I don't bet, but most of us today have done something that is wrong in the sight of God. Something. It can be minor, or it can be major. There is no such thing. Christopher told us that Wednesday night. Sin is sin. It's sin. Whether it's murder, whether it's adultery, whether it's hollering at your spouse for something that's really, really dumb. I know none of us have ever done that have a spouse. But sin is sin. And all of us have sinned. What about you tonight? Again, I can't ask if there's sin in your life, because there is. Is there sin in someone else's life that you won't back down from, that you won't forgive, that you won't back down from at all? If there is, you need to go talk to that person. You need to talk to that person. Put your arms around that person. Have that coffee or tea. Invite them to your house. Go to their house. Meet somewhere else. You go down here to the McDonald's where the old men sit around the table down there. You can go down there and talk to them. Talk with them, with this person that is erring. Maybe you are the one that's erring, and you need to meet somebody down here at the McDonald's to sit next to the old man so you can discuss that with the person that you've asked. If there is that in your life, think about that. Study about that. And change that in your life. Change that in your life. Also, in order to have the right relationship with God, you have to be in God. You have to believe that His Son is our Savior. You have to be baptized into Christ. You have to have your sins washed away so that you can have that repentance when you need to ask for it. All of these, we ask that you come forward. If we can help you, we would love for you to do that. We would love for you to do that. So if you have any need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.